Joined now by our good friend. He's a veteran golf journalist. He was covering the Masters for the Masters Annual and the Masters Journal. Jeff Babineau joins us right now. Babs, how's it going, man?
Hello, gentlemen. It's going well.
So we've talked about a few things today, and I find it interesting when you look at the ratings were down, and Scottie Scheffler sort of walked in the park coming down the stretch, if you will, that there's some people that are disappointed in that. I think there's obviously excitement when it's back and forth down the stretch they come, but I think it's pretty rare where you see a number one player in the world that's expected to win, that actually goes on to win and performs in just exactly how everybody expects him to, and just to sprinkles greatness all on us and we get to witness it. To me, that's actually really special. Maybe it lacks a little drama down the last couple of holes, but I thought it was super cool. I was just curious what your thoughts were on how this one all worked, finished out.
Yeah, I mean, you have to go back to 2005 when you had a pre-tournament favorite who actually won. So it's not easy to do. And that was Tiger. You look at Scheffler now, twice has been number one and won a green jacket. The only other guy to do that twice was Tiger. So, you know, you're throwing Scottie Scheffler in a lot of sentences with Tiger Woods these days. But I'm with you. I mean, I was kind of buckling up for this wild, close finish with all these guys, you know, firing, and, you know, the second nine on Sunday at Augusta when we see the eagles and birdies and all that stuff. And, I mean, he had three big mistakes from these guys. I mean, four if you got an extra double from Morikawa, and Scheffler doing all the right things, and all of a sudden you had this runaway. So it just, I think the ending was a little shocking to the system, because I think you expect, or I did at least, I expected to see this really go down to the wire, look so good with 10 holes left, and we had a kind of a walk away.
You know, what's kind of interesting also is that, you know, it was a walk away, but it was close for a lot of the front nine, especially after the ninth hole. And then Scottie Scheffler made, what, three or four birdies on the back nine and shot three under par. I was, every time he went for the green on 13 and 15, I was like sitting at the front of my seat. My stomach was churning. I was nervous for him and everything, and he just went about it like normal business.
Yeah, I mean, they had a decision to make on 13, right? It would have been odd to see him lay up with them. They had a little 200 and change to the front. And Ted Scott told him, you know, hey, man, yeah, we're going for it. Do what you do. I mean, that's what he does. You're the best ball striker in the world. So, yeah, they did what they did. He makes the birdie there, 14, he makes birdie. And then he's just pulling away at that point. We're figuring out who might win second, but as close as that was, you know, you had four guys tied on the first nine. Four guys tied for lead on Sunday, which is really exciting. And in the end, you have when Åberg finishes four back, and the rest of the guys are at least seven back. So it's kind of amazing how Scottie's one of those guys that has that gear and just slowly can pull away. And he just does all the right things. I kind of roll my eyes when I hear people call him boring. I mean, if you're bored watching him play golf, you're kind of bored with greatness, because he really does it in a special way. He doesn't make the mistakes. He's such a high golf IQ. And when he gets the putter going, he's perfect right now. He's pretty unbeatable right now.
So, Jeff, to your point, what you're saying there is this is a guy that's racked up nine wins, a pair of Masters, a pair of Players, a pair of APIs, pair in Phoenix. I mean, he's racked up all these wins, and he's racking them up at certain places. And that sure sounds a lot like a guy that won 82 times recently in Tiger Woods, sort of had his places, and he dominated and did what he needed to do. He's like he's unlocked this code, and he's won early. And all this has been in the last, what, 3.5 years, which is just it's crazy.
Yeah. Started 22, right? So less than that. And it's pretty amazing. The one stat that kind of hit me coming out of it, I think they threw out a stat that Scottie hasn't won after the Masters.
Right.
So if you think about it, like the year he won in 22, the Masters was his fourth win. This time it was his third win. So his seasons have kind of been, you know, front-loaded, wins in Phoenix, stuff like that. So that's kind of interesting. So you want to see him. Certainly played well enough on the back end of last year to win a few times, and just, you know, he had some poor putting weeks or kind of off putting weeks. So, you know, he does so many things great. I think his putting really stands out when he's not knocking down all these 12 footers, but he's looking at them all day. So he's not going to knock them all down. And certainly he made big putts, right? He made the big putt at 8. That was huge. He didn't have to putt at 9. He almost holds it for 2. And then he makes a big putt at 10. So he's making, you know, he made a big putt at 13 a day earlier when he's kind of spinning his wheels a little bit early on that second 9. So he makes, if he doesn't make all the, you know, 6 footers he's looking at, he makes a lot of big, pivotal, momentum keeping putts. And that's the sign of a really good player.
So, you know, he's going to be going through some changes here pretty soon with his family, with his wife having a baby, that kind of thing. How do you think that's going to affect him, good or bad, as far as his game's concerned?
Yeah, I mean, I tell you what, I'm really impressed with Scheffler and how, I think the word Rory used talking about him was uncluttered. And I really think he keeps it simple. You look at the guys who finished first and second last week, and they're two of the guys who keep the game as simple as you possibly could keep it, right? I mean, Scotty's seen the same swing guy since he was 7 years old, Randy Smith. He's not messing around with swings and this and that. And it was a big deal for them to welcome Phil Kenyon onto the team to help with the putting. That was a big move because it was always just Scotty and Randy. And Aber reminds me of the same. I mean, he's just such a refreshingly simple guy. They don't get in their own way. And then you've got a guy like Rory who's got all the talent in the world, and he's wondering how he's going to come into the tournament. This year he's going to practice more. This year he's going to play leading in. Next year he isn't. He's the last guy to register. You know, if you notice, his caddy wore number 89. That means they registered even after Akshay Bhatia, who won the previous Sunday. So, you know, you can overthink it sometimes. And I just like the way that some of these guys who are playing best, the message all these other players should get is they don't make it that complicated. So in the end, it's just golf. And to Scottie Scheffler, it's just golf. It's a big tournament. But next week's a big tournament, too. They're all big to him. And I love the way that he keeps it like that. And he's ready to go again today.
Jeff Babineau joining us here on Real Golf Radio. So you mentioned Rory. He was a big story coming in. 10 years, his opportunity to complete the career Grand Slam. The PGA Championship returns to Valhalla, the last place he won a major championship. What is your take on Rory? And, you know, Tiger says without a doubt Rory's going to get that Masters. But, you know, that's somebody that has respect for him. And what else would Tiger say at this point? But yeah. What do you expect? I mean, how small is that window starting to look at this point?
Well, I mean, I guess it gets a little smaller every year, right? I mean, he puts a lot of pressure on himself, but I've always maintained, I try to take the long game view on it. I always maintain he's going to get it somewhere. I mean, look at some of, you know, you look at Olafable won 2 Masters, one of them after he pretty much was done with golf. Marco Mira won one at 41. Right. Maybe when the expectations are a little less for him, that's when he's going to step through the door and do it, you know. And I expect him to get right back in the major mix back in Valhalla. He's going to have good feelings there, winning in 14. You know, that was a great run he had when he won the Open Championship, and I think he won maybe at Firestone and won at Valhalla right in a row. And at the time, I remember him talking, he was hitting balls one day, getting all tangled up, and at the time it just registered in his head, just look at your target and go, and he just simplified things and went on this big 3 tournament run. So, you know, everything's in there. It's all inside him. You just got to kind of bring it out and stop getting in his own way. And, you know, the driver will be a good weapon at Valhalla, as it is with a lot of these guys. And Rory will get back in there. And he'll get his major. He'll get the Masters one of these days. But the place just, it's one of those places that can keep you at arm's length for a while. And some guys that never did give in. And so I think he will get it, but it's just never going to be easy.
What do you think the ceiling is? Like you see, you were talking about Oberg and how simply he makes things. What do you think his ceiling is? Considering just a year ago he was 3,000 in the world. He just graduated from college. He's won 2 or 3 times now. and he's like ninth or eighth in the world. How fast did that happen? And what do you think going forward is that going to be like for him?
I think that kid's got the world ahead of him, really. I mean, he looks awesome. He's, you know, played in the Ryder Cup before he played in the major. Just hugely impressive. His driver is such a weapon. I'm watching him at Harbortown today. Hit driver on all these holes and skinny corridors. And just, I think he hit eight or nine fairways. I mean, it's such a weapon. And he's got a great ceiling, but I've always, you got to kind of put a throttle on it a little bit, because you look at just last fall, this game is fleeting, right? The form is fleeting. Victor Hovland's going to be the next number one in the world, really. I mean, he's on that trajectory. And now where is he? He's just a kid up there that's completely lost. I mean, he's messed around with a lot of things he's having success with, and he's lost right now, and he'll find it. But that golf puts you through those spells. So it's hard to, you know, you want to sit here and say Scottie Scheffler's going to win 5 and 6 green jackets, and who knows, he might, but who knows what his form's going to be in 24 months too. So it's just, golf's like that. When you're playing as well as he is and hitting the ball the way he is, and on this great run, you better take advantage of it, because it sure can leave you fast.
Yeah. Hey, Babs, I know we're short on time, but I wanted to ask you about Tiger, because, you know, he gets the 24 consecutive cuts and makes it to the weekend, and then obviously not what we're used to seeing out of Tiger Woods. What's your feeling on him? And, you know, his comments afterwards were probably as honest and as I've ever heard him at all, when he talks about finishing basically last of those that made the cut and saying it was a good week and, you know, something to build on and that kind of thing. I mean, you would never hear him say that before. Where is he at right now in your mind, and what should the fans expect from Tiger going forward?
Well, I think he liked the fact that he played 4 rounds. I know that. But, I mean, yeah, finishing dead last at the Tiger Woods is not where you want to be. And I can't think he enjoys that. I think it's cool that he brought Charlie up there and got to share Sunday on the practice area with him. But he doesn't want to finish 60th. That's not how he's built. He's not built as a ceremonial guy. You know, Arnold could do it. Arnold could play and smile with the crowd and wave and enjoy it. I don't see Tiger doing that. I don't think Jack ever enjoyed doing that, showing up when he wasn't going to be real competitive. So I don't know how long Tiger will want to do this. Maybe he wants to keep his game fresh to give the Champions Tour a run in a couple of years and give that a little stretch, right? I mean, he can ride around the cart and really do some damage out there and really have a huge effect on that tour. So I don't know how long he wants to stay at these majors and finishing 60th. I can't imagine he'd want to do that too long.
Yeah, no question. He did say he loves it still, which is something. Hey, last thing on the ratings. What was your thoughts with the ratings being down? Do you think that's just a way that, you know, people are digesting media these days differently than just regular television? Or do you think this is some fatigue on the fans' part with all this, you know, fracturing of professional golf?
Yeah, I think it's a little of both. It's a big combination. It's almost like, you know, why do players hit it so far these days? And you want to, you know, a lot of people just point to a golf ball when it's, they're in better physical shape, they're better physical specimens, the turf is firmer. There's all kinds of reasons that go into it beside a singular thing. And I think that's, you know, without studying it a whole lot, but just kind of the feel you have, I think it's a little bit fractured right now at the top of golf. That turns some people off. And I do think, as you say, it's how people consume this, right? I mean, I finally got with the times and cut the cord a couple of weeks ago, and I watch things differently now. People are watching on Masters.com. I don't know how you're credited with things like that. And there's 9 million channels on television and options and streaming options. So I think people, how they consume things is different. But I do think partly it's the fan that's a little tired of golf being messed up at the top. It's zooming everywhere else, and it's not great at the top right now until they figure things out. So that's the message to them, to get this thing figured out sooner than later.
Mm, yeah, I think you're right. By the way, what was your favorite sandwich this year at Augusta?
I went with an early early chicken salad just for a little change of pace, but my egg salad's the go-to.
Yeah. That chicken salad's not bad, though, huh?
Chicken salad's not bad.
A couple of hot dogs here and there, but the...
Really?
You know, the pimento cheese at the end of my bench, he never gets called into the game. I'm an egg salad guy, you know.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you. So you actually did some hot... You know, I've never done a hot dog there.
Yeah, I do a couple of hot dogs. Throw a little... Got to have some relish on. Not as good as the ballpark, but... You got to mix it. I'm here for like 14 days. Got to mix it up a little.
No doubt.
Well, you're the best, man. It was so good to see you as always. It's a pleasure to be there in that same room with you, and a nice job on good work. And we'll catch up with you again at Valhalla.
Great to see you, boys. And thanks for giving me a nice little Masters hoodie I wear around and think of you guys every time I put it on.
Oh, see, it's worth it right there. That's all we ask for. A little thought from you. Well, that's some good Babs karma coming our way. So we like
that's it. That's right.
All right.
Play the lottery.
Good stuff. Thanks, Jeff. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Okay. All right, guys.
All right. There you go. That's Jeff Babineau joining us here. He's writing for the Masters Annual and the Masters Journal. And he's just a good guy. He's got good questions, very astute, and, you know, does a nice job with his interview and his writing. So check him out on the Masters Annual, Masters Journal, masters.com.